gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, of the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Abounding in Christ. This is what we started many, many Sunday evenings ago, just looking at it. The first few verses there, verses like verses 1 through 3, it's a reminder of God's presence. You'll notice there as you read it, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, the will of God. Verse 2, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So it kind of reminds us of the presence of the Lord. Now you remember when we first looked at it, I went back and I got some historical facts about the city of Ephesus. The city of Ephesus was a very wicked, wicked city. Had a lot of pagan idolatry that would go on there, but yet Paul spent several years there trying to reach these people. Matter of fact, Paul said, day and night, I sought with tears to preach Jesus Christ and to bring Christ unto you, the hope of the world. So it's a reminder that though Ephesus was a very wicked, wicked place, Christ is with us. And it kind of should remind us that when Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, in Matthew 28, he meant it. He meant it. You know, it's not just in the good times. I am so thankful that whenever I have joyful experiences with friends, family, with church, just every day, I'm just so thankful that Christ is there and I can enjoy it. His presence is real in those moments. But I am so thankful that my walk and my relationship with God has grown and that I have grown over time. That when the lights are out in my life and it's dark and the storms are there and the winds are howling, dear friend, the troubles is all around me and it seems I cannot see to take another step forward because of my walk with the Lord in the past and Him bring me through certain things and walk me through certain things, His presence is real in those times. God on the mountaintop is the God in the valley. And so I believe Paul would have us to know, even though Ephesus was a very wicked, wicked place, he wanted the Ephesians, the Ephesians population, especially those saints, that's what he says there in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, of the will of God, to the saints which are of Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He was talking to believers here. He was talking to those who had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And so he wanted to know, yeah, you live in a difficult place. Yes, you are in a difficult situation. Yeah, your job is here and your home is here and you've taken root and you live here. But be assured, God is with you. And I'm so thankful that we can see that in our life and know, you know, certain times, you know, certain places you live, it doesn't matter in what country, what continent, what state, what city. There's some pretty bad places in some areas. It really is. You know, some pretty crime-ridden places and things of that nature. But you know that there's, even in those situations, those places, God desires a witness. God desires for somebody to be there to share Christ with those without hope, those alienated against God, those that care not about the law of the land. Listen, they need Jesus. They do need Jesus. So I'm thankful that God allows us to understand that His presence is with us. And one thing I want to remind you of is there when it talks about saints, remember I told you this, you're not a saint when you're dead and gone and been petrified in the ground and somebody finds some good work you did and said, hey, this is a good person. Let's make them a saint. You're a saint in Christ Jesus. When you're born again, you're made a saint of God there. And so those are some amazing things that we looked at about the presence. Remember the thought, abounding in Christ. As we there in the first three verses there, remind us of God's presence. I really like it when it says there in verse number 3, I think it's verse 3, yes, verse 3, the latter part, it says, in heavenly places. Listen, let's read that again. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How? In Christ. In Christ. Boy, that's a wonderful thought there. Do you understand something, dear friend, that you and I are pilgrims here on this earth? We're just passing through. So just a little while, dear friend, you and I could be up out of here and be on our way, either by death or by the rapture. If you are saved, the Bible says to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And so there was a reminder of the presence. And then in the second portion we looked at, verses 7 through 12, we are reminded of our abundance in Christ Jesus. Remember I told you, Paul spent 3 years working with them and spending time with them. Oliver B. Green said this, the love demonstrated by the Father in freely giving His Son, the love demonstrated by the Son in freely giving Himself, the just for the unjust, will be the marvel of all eternity. Dear friend, they looked through heaven high and low. They looked through earth high and low. And they found but one that was worthy. And that was Jesus. One that was worthy. Well, we see Him face to face. Dear friend, we looked upon those nail-scarred hands. Dear friend, when we're standing there at the Bema Seat of Christ and we give an account of what we did in this body, whether good or bad, when we look at Him in His face, dear friend, we're going to marvel. We're going to be in awe that such a one would give Himself for you and I. That's the abundance that we enjoy in Christ. Even in Ephesus, where it was wicked, where it was horrible, where they had temple prostitution, where they had pagans that wanted to put Paul and Barnabas to death because of their preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God because of verse 7. Look, it says, in the abundance of Christ, this number one thing is, in whom we have redemption. We have redemption. That blood was sinless. That blood was guileless. That blood was pure. That blood was holy. He became sin so you and I might become saved, might be born again. Thank the Lord for that. That's the abundance that we enjoy in Christ. Those sins were once our slave chains, binding us in our enslaved condition. Our guilty awareness of those sins make us hide from God and from each other. How do we know that's biblical principle? Adam and Eve, the cool of the day, had fellowship with God, talked with God, and when sin entered in, they hid, didn't it? That's what sin does, dear friend. I'm going to tell you. You get to fool around with sin, dear friend. You're going to hide from God, from everybody. It's an amazing thing trying to hide from God, is it? Psalmist said, if I went down to hell, there He'd be. My God is everywhere, dear friend. His eyes are open to all that we have to whom we have to do. Let me read on this little quote here. And even we even try to hide from ourselves. Have you ever got to that point? Try to hide. I mean, you got sin. I mean, you're in sin. You try to hide from yourself. You pay a peekaboo with yourself. We done hoodwinked ourselves. We cannot do it, dear friend. Let me tell you something. Sin brings shame. It brings withdrawal. It brings denial. The memory of our sin makes us feel unaccepted, unacceptable to ourselves and even to others. You know what I'm talking about. Listen, somebody knows some things that you have done and been around you and they know your background a little bit, dear friend. You can feel the withdrawal, can't you? You can feel it. It's just like fog moves in. Or you think you're in some kind of Halloween movie or something like I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I did it, but man, it's just like something moves in, and dear friend, and it's there. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. The shame of sin makes us reclusive. We hide. You find a church member that gets in sin, dear friend, they quit coming to church quicker than anything. FBI, CIA, NASA, y'all couldn't even get what's that? SpaceX couldn't even send a satellite up for Lock Haven to find some folks that get off and see it. They just hide. I mean, listen, you're getting reclusive. Like, that's going to help you. It's not going to. You better run to Jesus, dear friend. Listen, if we get to be a point where sinners, listen, we're sinners that have backslidden and can't come to the house of God and get right, we're in trouble. We're going to close it down and become a morgue around here. Start burying folks, become a mausoleum, put up some things where we can put dead bodies in. But we're alive around here, and we need help, and this is where you're going to find help. But do you know I'm telling the truth? We come reclusive. Nobody wants to be there. We're secretive, suspicious, lonely, despairing, all those things. But in Christ Jesus, in Christ, my, redemption through His blood. Not something you and I can do. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says this, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Wow, that's amazing stuff, folks. That's the abundance in Christ. So we're reminded of God's presence. Then God shows us His abundance, shows our abundance in Him. What about even the forgiveness of sins? I like how that's even said. I mean, when the Holy Spirit wrote that, look, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His glory." Wow. That's amazing. The knowledge, listen, verses 8, 9, and 10. Look at this. "The knowledge and the riches that we enjoy in Christ Jesus, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in Him." I don't know if we get the point yet, but I think the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit